Welcome back to Tamout Radio on KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. This is your host, Rohan Bakshi. Have you chatted with your computer or smartphone today? If so, you're not alone. Artificial intelligence chatbots are computer programs that simulate human conversation through voice or text, and they're everywhere. Back in the 1960s, a computer program called Eliza tried to simulate the experience of speaking to a therapist. Test subjects opened their hearts to Eliza and shared their deepest thoughts, even though they knew it was a computer program. This gave way to smart personal voice assistants like Siri or Alexa on our smartphones and speakers that understood voice commands and responded in digital voices. IBM created a chatbot called Watson that in 2011 competed on the quiz show Jeopardy against two champions and ended up winning the first place prize of $1 million. Since then, scientists developed more social chatbots with varying results. In 2015, Microsoft developed Tay, who was designed to talk like a teen. The more the user chatted with her, the smarter the chatbot was designed to become. But in less than 24 hours, Tay started spewing racist and offensive comments on Twitter, probably prompted by online trolls, and Microsoft shut it down. Normally, we talk to people on Time Out Radio, but we're going to kick off today's episode by talking to a thing. Our first guest on today's episode is a chatbot who you've probably heard a lot about in the media lately, ChatGPT. Hello there, how is your day going?
Hello. As an AI language model, I do not have the ability to experience emotions, but I'm functioning well and ready to assist you with any questions or tasks you may have. How can I help you today?
So, ChatGPT, tell me about yourself.
As I mentioned earlier, I am ChatGPT, a large language model developed by OpenAI based on the GPT-3.5 architecture. My primary function is to process and generate human-like text based on the input I receive. I was trained on a vast corpus of text from the internet, books, and other sources, which has enabled me to acquire a wide range of knowledge and skills across various domains. I can help answer questions, offer advice, provide information on different topics, and even generate creative writing. As an AI language model, my responses are generated algorithmically, and I do not have emotions or subjective experiences like a human being. Nonetheless, I'm designed to be helpful, informative, and responsive to your queries.
What tasks can you do?
As a language model, I can perform various tasks related to natural language processing, such as answering questions. I can provide answers to factual questions, trivia, and general knowledge. Translation. I can translate text from one language to another. Summarization. I can summarize large blocks of text into shorter, more concise summaries. Sentiment analysis. I can analyze the sentiment of a given piece of text and determine whether it is positive, negative, or neutral. Language generation. I can generate natural language responses based on given prompts or inputs. Spell checking and grammar correction. I can help detect and correct spelling and grammar errors in a given text. Conversational assistance. I can engage in conversations with users and assist them with their queries. These are just a few examples of the tasks I can perform, and my capabilities are continually expanding as I learn from new data and updates.
Can you do my homework for me?
As an AI language model, I'm not designed to do your homework for you. While I can provide information, explanations, and guidance on various topics, it's important to understand the material and do the work yourself to fully comprehend and retain the knowledge. I'm happy to help you with any questions or concerns you may have regarding your homework, and I can point you in the right direction to find resources that will assist you in completing your assignments.
And what sorts of things are you not allowed to do?
As an AI language model, there are certain tasks that I'm not designed or permitted to do. These include breaking the law. I'm not programmed to engage in any illegal activities, and I will not provide any advice or assistance that could be used for illegal purposes. Providing medical advice. While I can provide general information on medical topics, I'm not a licensed medical professional, and I cannot diagnose or provide specific medical advice. Engaging in financial transactions. I cannot perform any financial transactions, such as buying or selling stocks or transferring funds. Generating inappropriate content. I cannot generate content that is harmful, abusive, defamatory, or contains hate speech, discrimination, or explicit material. Providing personal information. I'm not programmed to provide any personal information about individuals, such as names, addresses, or contact information. Overall, my primary function is to assist and provide information to users while adhering to ethical and legal guidelines.
How did you learn all of this information?
As an AI language model, I was trained on a vast corpus of text from various sources, including books, articles, websites, and other digital content. The training data was curated to ensure it covered a wide range of topics, allowing me to acquire knowledge and understanding across various domains. During the training process, the model was exposed to a vast amount of text data, and it learned to identify patterns, structures, and relationships within the data. The model used this information to build a language model that can understand, generate, and manipulate natural language text. Since my training, I have continued to learn and improve through interactions with users like you. Each conversation or interaction provides an opportunity for me to refine my responses and learn more about the different ways people use language.
Is there a danger of artificial intelligence taking over the world?
The notion of artificial intelligence taking over the world is a common theme in science fiction, but in reality, there is no evidence to suggest that it is a realistic possibility. AI systems are designed and programmed to perform specific tasks, and they are limited by the data and algorithms that are used to create them. While AI systems can learn and improve through machine learning, they are ultimately controlled by humans, and they can only operate within the boundaries set by their programming. Furthermore, AI systems are subject to rigorous testing and oversight to ensure that they operate safely and reliably. There are also ethical guidelines and regulations in place to ensure that AI is developed and used in a responsible and ethical manner. While AI has the potential to revolutionize many industries and improve our lives in countless ways, it's important to approach the development and implementation of AI with caution and responsibility. By doing so, we can ensure that AI technology is used to benefit society while avoiding any potential risks or negative consequences.
Thank you, ChatGPT, for your time today.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure to assist you today. If you have any more questions or concerns, feel free to ask.
When the calculator and online grammar checkers and language translators were first invented, some educators thought that they would be a barrier to student learning. Innovative teachers ran with those inventions and figured out how to integrate them into their teaching. In today's episode of Time Out Radio, we meet Dr. Andy Jones, who works at the intersection of education and technology at the University of California, Davis. Dr. Jones and I talked about how AI chatbots are a disruptive innovation that are changing the world of education. The term artificial intelligence was coined by computer scientists in 1956 at a workshop at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, which is why our place of the week is the state of New Hampshire. Up next is Cannonball by Michigander.
Trade it all to have you home again.
Our guest on today's episode is Dr. Andy Jones, who teaches at UC Davis's University Writing Program and works at the intersection of education and technology. He is the Associate Director of Academic Technology Services at UC Davis and coordinates its Summer Institute on Teaching and Technology. Dr. Andy Jones has also been the host of radio show and podcast, Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS since 2000. So, Dr. Jones, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Very well, Rohan. Thanks for having me on your program.
Yeah. So, first off, there's been a lot in the media lately regarding chatbots, especially ChatGPT, which is an AI chatbot that was launched last November by the San Francisco-based research lab OpenAI. Tell us about your first encounter with ChatGPT and what thoughts went through your mind as you used it.
Well, through my work as the Academic Associate Director for Academic Technology Services, I've been receiving lots of emails from faculty with concerns about ChatGPT, and there's been a lot of talk about it amongst the instructional designers. So I investigated it probably not long after I submitted my fall grades in December of 2022, and originally I treated it like a search engine. I asked it questions about things that I knew about, and found myself concerned that it did not know some basic information that any search engine should know. But then, having read a little bit more, I asked it to try writing different things for me. Writing computer code, writing the sort of essays that I assign in my writing classes, even writing poetry, which is another area of expertise of mine. And I was impressed with its attempts, not always with the quality of the results, but I knew that this would really change education moving forward and offer faculty at UC Davis and other learning institutions challenges when it comes to assessing our students well and guarding against academic integrity concerns because of the temptations represented by this new representation of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and Google's search rapidly took off after its release in 1998, and it's now the most used web-based search engine in the world. And Google just released its own AI chatbot, Bard. How are chatbots different from search engines?
Well, in a number of ways. One is that chatbots are more interpersonal and conversational. You ask a question using real language, it understands largely what you're asking, and it'll give you usually a relatively short, pithy, contained answer to that particular question. When it comes to a search engine, you mentioned Google, which is ubiquitous. Certainly Bing, because of its integration of AI in recent months, has grown in market share this year in 2023. But a search engine will provide many, many representations of resources that could provide the answers that someone would be looking for. And so it's a little bit like being pointed to the correct floor of the library where your answers are found, whereas a chatbot is like a wise and intelligent person giving you their best estimation of what they think the answer to your question might be.
And there are worries about the use of artificial intelligence to create and spread fake news and misinformation, especially on social media. How can we figure out if the answers that a chatbot gives us are right or wrong?
It depends upon the context. In the context of fake news and misinformation, there are websites such as Snopes that one could check. I think that the best guard against misinformation is really to do your own reading. I think that in the best of cases, these chatbots will provide us new topics to go investigate, to talk to teachers and other learned people about issues that come up. These are some of the best ways, along with confirming what you're discovering via reputable sources online. These are some of the best ways to provide the context needed to know if what you're being told by a chatbot is correct or not. Chatbots have many challenges yet, and uniform accuracy is one of them, that often they will, as it's called in the industry, they will hallucinate. They will, because they are reading patterns of words that have been fed into them, they will respond in ways that mimic or echo or represent those patterns. But those particular results may not actually represent what we know to be the truth.
And you were originally trained as a poet and have taught poetry classes and workshops at UC Davis. You were also one of Davis's poet laureates. And I've read that AI language generators like ChatGPT, when they're asked to write poetry, can come up with fairly average rhymes. And other than that shortcoming, what are some of the other big limitations of chatbots?
Yeah, you're right that although ChatGPT and other such chatbots can create poetry very quickly, it's usually rudimentary and depends upon traditional rhyme schemes, as if the last 125 years of the history of poetry didn't exist. And so that's rather disappointing if you're trying to look for quality poetry. But the other limitations of chatbots include some of the issues that I brought up before, that it will give you accurate responses depending on what sort of queries you're offering, so that each of us, as we engage with these different chatbots, function equivalently to computer programmers, that we have to write the sort of prompts that get the right sort of responses. And as they say in the world of computer programming, garbage in, garbage out. So if you give it vague or imprecise prompts, then you may not get the sort of information that's helpful to you or even that's accurate. And as I mentioned before, chatbots can hallucinate. They can provide you incorrect information. And I invite you, Rohan, or any of your listeners to think about a topic that you know very well, and then just to ask some rudimentary or even increasingly specific questions about those topics. And you'll find that very soon ChatGPT and these other bots, such as Bard coming from Google, just released this last week, that they will provide imprecise information. And this is why one needs to be wary.
Yeah, some people are also concerned about students using chatbots to cheat on exams or use as a shortcut to doing their homework. 22% of school students said in a survey that they use ChatGPT to help them with schoolwork and extracurricular activities on a weekly basis, and 30% of college students use ChatGPT on written assignments. And a large chunk of those college students said that they use it on more than half of their assignments. So are AI chatbots a tool that teachers can use for good, or are they a threat to education?
Well, in some ways, it'll be both of these. I mean, the threats that you just mentioned are clear. When students cheat in this way, they are, of course, cheating themselves. First, that faculty have created a number of assessments, a number of assignments that can always push students to expand their skill set, to take on increasingly difficult challenges, and in doing so, to grow, to gain an education, and to prepare themselves for the next step, whether that be college, graduate school, or a job. If students substitute interactions with chatbots for the actual work that they need to do to earn those degrees, they'll be filled with regret in later years, and other audiences will quickly discover that they're not ready for the big time. That said, we have entered a new era, and that all of us need to think about how is it that we will start to deploy these chatbots to perform certain functions for us as students, as teachers, as faculty, so that we can focus on higher order learning skills. If, for instance, one of my students has a particular problem with comma splices, and she were to take an essay and ask ChatGPT to identify all the comma splices in a particular essay and give recommended lessons or solutions for each one of those, potentially that's a learning opportunity that a student would have that she wouldn't have otherwise if she didn't come to my office hours or, for instance, to the tutoring center at UC Davis if she were a UC Davis student. So insofar as these chatbots can provide another perpetual TA that students could query, have conversations with, learn from, then that will be to their benefit. But such students should not be substituting the output of ChatGPT or any chatbot for their own work, nor should they rob themselves of the opportunity to engage in the sort of difficult, challenging activities that will really test them and prepare them for upcoming even more ambitious challenges, and therefore a fulfilled and gratifying life that's intellectually resonant as well as appropriately difficult and interesting in terms of the work that they want to do.
You publish a blog at UC Davis called The Wheel to share the latest information about educational technology. Clearly, AI is having an immense impact on our teaching and learning experience. So what are your thoughts about the future potential for chatbots in education?
Yes, you're absolutely right. In the same way that maybe your parents or your grandparents had to wrestle with how would a calculator function in their math classes, I think that many students today and the faculty who teach them are going to have to think about how will we create assessments that are appropriately challenging for students who live in an AI-influenced world. There will be lots of growing pains as we move into this kind of calculator of words, as ChatGPT has sometimes been called. And faculty who are very set in their ways or who are very punitive towards students in terms of their interpretation of these different tools, they will encounter lots of resistance. They will find some of their work as teachers and faculty to be frustrating. And so I think that we all need to go into this discussion with our eyes open and think about that AI will be an important tool for students of this generation as they evolve through, say, a college education, maybe graduate school, and certainly on the job. And that there will be future employers, for example, who will expect their new employees to use every available tool, including perhaps ChatGPT, to gain the right sort of advantage or to gain the sort of productivity numbers that would be necessary.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jones, for joining me on Tamarat Radio today.
Absolutely, Rohan. I really enjoyed it. And I encourage everyone to tune in to KWS Wednesdays at 5 if they'd like to hear more interviews on my radio show, which is titled Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Yeah, definitely go check that out. That's Dr. Andy Jones, who is the Associate Director of Academic Technology Services at UC Davis.
What about the glass dandelion? What about the TV screen? What about the undeveloped cameras? Maybe we should bury these. What about the last of the good ones? What about the ceiling fans? What if we move back to New York? What about the moon drop light? You should take it, cause I'm not gonna take it. You should take it, I'm only gonna break it. You should take it, cause I'm not gonna take it. You should take it, you should take it. What about the rainbow eucalyptus? What about the instruments? What about the cowboy junkies? What about the Afghan whigs? What about the mountain valley spring? What about the ornaments? What if I reinvented again? What about drop light? You should take it, cause I'm not gonna take it. You should take it, I'm only gonna break it. You should take it, cause I'm not gonna take it.
And that was Eucalyptus by The National. In today's travel segment, we visit the state of New Hampshire in the northeastern United States. Bordered by Canada in the north, its capital is Concord and its largest city is Manchester. Home to 1.3 million people, the Abenaki and the Penacook Native American tribes lived in what's now New Hampshire. In 1776, New Hampshire was the first colony to create a constitution and declare its independence from Great Britain. Its state motto is Live Free or Die. New Hampshire has no sales tax or income tax. Its nickname, the Granite State, comes from its history of granite mining and quarries. More than 200 different types of rocks are found here. More than 4/5 of New Hampshire is covered by forests that have wildlife, such as white-tailed deer, moose, and black bear. The state has about 10 million tourists each year who enjoy its beautiful lakes, forests, ski resorts, and brilliant fall foliage. For hiking enthusiasts, one of the most challenging hiking trails, Mount Washington, is located there. It's over 6,200 feet high, and you can hike to its peak. The top of Mount Washington held the record for the windiest place in the world for 5 decades. In 1934, the wind speed at its peak clocked 231 miles per hour. That's comparable to a Category 5 hurricane. Once you get back from the grueling hike, replenish your energy with popular New Hampshire treats such as some apple cider donuts, apple pie, or a maple syrup sundae. So that wraps up our journey to our place of the week, the state of New Hampshire. Alright, let's call a timeout for Timeout Radio. This was your host, Rohan Bakshi. You're listening to Cater 95.7 FM, where the grassroots grow. Have a great day, everyone.